greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
I know, it's Kristen. She's back. It's been a while since you've been back, haven't
I know,
you?
It's been a long time.
When was the last time you were on? I remember we once recorded, and I had, like, burned my arm with, like, grease or something like that. Do you remember that?
We have had some interesting recording sessions before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and not during the show.
There was one time when you had some creepy neighbor outside.
Really?
Shoveling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Because it was the same one, because it was in the middle of a snowstorm.
Right. And he was wearing a neon coat. I remember that. It was
just
like
in case
bright
somebody was
yellow.
Just in case somebody was hunting rabbits.
Well, you know,
rabbits.
In your neighborhood, you never know.
No, it's been a while. It's been a couple years, actually, I think.
It could be.
I don't think you were on... you weren't on in 2011, so it's good to have you back. Actually, you came back because it was one of our listeners suggested. I forget who it is. It was on Twitter, and I should dig that up. But this listener had suggested that we bring you on so that we could also have the return of the Neil Miller sock puppet.
Oh.
You remember that, don't
I
you?
I do remember that.
I think he's in the studio right now.
Is
he's in
he?
The magical studio. Oh, here he is. Hi, I'm Neil Miller.
Oh, hi, Neil Miller sock puppet.
The sock puppet is back. Of course, Neil hasn't been on since the Transformers episode last year.
I think Neil Miller doesn't exist anymore.
He doesn't. He ate himself into oblivion in Austin, Texas, because the barbecue is so good.
That's what I hear. I mean, that's what he always says on Facebook all the time. I read about the food he eats, but not much else.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's beer and barbecue out there in Austin. The
Shout
TX.
Out to Neil Miller and his beer
that's
and barbecue.
Right. Let's get through some paperwork here before we continue. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and check us out. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies or Fat Guys Network, and we pop right up, as do all our other shows. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM, and you can like us, because that's the way we are. That is how we decide our self-worth. So, like us, please. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We actually have it's not even a question. It's more just feedback from last issue.
What is wow.
That? Way back in the magazine times. What's going
it's
on?
It's been a long time.
Last episode. And you can leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. We also, you know what I set up? I set up a Pinterest account.
A what?
You're a woman and you don't know what a Pinterest account
no,
is?
No, I'm not that kind of woman. It's...
Not to sound sexist or anything, but Pinterest it's like a bulletin board site. It's kind of like
kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's you think of it as when people post pictures on Facebook,
right?
But that's all it is, and you have these bulletin boards where you pin pictures of site and it takes you to an interesting page.
See, there are lots of things like that I would need to have twice as much time if I were to do all that stuff.
Well, it's funny because I set this up earlier this week. It was Monday and it was Tuesday I did. It was literally all I did that day was watch DVDs and Blu-rays and fart around on Pinterest. Now, most people would consider that being lazy. But that's my job.
Oh, no, that's your job.
That's work.
Yeah. See, but the nice thing with you is you have kids.
Yeah.
So they're getting to that age where you can put them to work now.
I do.
So it's the slave labor, and they can do all that internet stuff because we're getting too old.
Way too old. Well, and I do, my youngest, who's three, he has to take naps still. And so I always, this is how you manipulate the situation because, you know, you have an interest in kids coming up soon.
I do.
Yeah. But
I suppose I do.
Yeah, that happens. But what happens is I say to Nick, who's my youngest, I say, mm-hmm. Well, who do you want to put you down for a nap? Do you want me or do you want Liam or Ben? And he always picks one of his brothers.
Or the Neil Miller sock puppet.
Or the Neil, I'll put him down. I'm good. That's creepy. I'm sorry. We shouldn't do it. Anyways, Pinterest.com/fatguys. And that has, and what's neat, what is neat about this account, and not to sound like a shill for it or anything, but you can, I've got
it's
all
your
the.
Job to shill,
of
actually.
Course. Well, that's my professional shills. They have all the, I can put all my reviews up there. You can go to all the Fat Guys episodes. You got the DVD rundown. It's kind of in a grid style.
Nice.
So if you want to look at all those, he still has to bump you to the site, but it's all set up in a nice, organized fashion. But yeah, Kristen, tell us, remind the audience, because I know all about you, but remind the audience who you are and what you do.
I am a critic locally here in Columbus on WCBE. Mm-hmm. We're also on WITT in Indianapolis.
Yay!
So we do two shows a week here and one in Indy.
Are they different shows or is it a syndicated thing?
It's syndicated.
Oh.
So there's a slight difference, but it's mostly the same. And I also am the editor-in-chief of nightsandweekends.com.
Yay! Which covers books, movies, board games. You still do board games?
Yes. Board games, music, whatever we feel like covering at the time.
You know what I found board game-wise? You're even too young for this. I was digging out my old Star Wars toys for my kids.
Okay.
And I brought them home for my kids to play with. And I found the old Mad Magazine game from 1979. Which is probably
a little young to be playing that at that point.
Were you like in diapers?
Yeah.
Was I. I was eight. No. It's a fun game. It's sort of like the reverse insane version of Monopoly.
Interesting.
You have to lose all your money.
You know, I think I remember something about that.
I'm really good at losing money. At least in real life.
In our business, we're all pretty good at that.
So do you have Facebook or you have Facebook?
I do. I'm on Facebook. I have avoided Twitter thus far.
The way you say that with disdain, your nose curled.
Well, it's one of those things that I think about and then I think, just not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
So someday I will break down when I have children who are old enough for slave labor.
Yeah. See, that's what you got to do. That's why you have children. Children are there for an excuse to get out of doing things.
Yeah.
And also just for the slave labor is probably the most.
Well, yeah, that's what I've been thinking, you know, because we moved into this new house and I'm thinking, you know, I don't like to clean this house.
You got a big backyard.
So I think we kind of need to have a kid.
Someone's got
to
rake those leaves.
Right. So that was kind of the idea.
Yeah, that works.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of having nothing to do with trees, because there are leaves and there's a tree in this.
That was a good segue.
Really good segue.
That was brilliant.
Maybe if I thought of it beforehand, it would have been better, but hearing me,
not how we roll on this show.
That is like watching sausage being made. That is a look into my mind, how messy and disgusting that is. Anyway, the first movie we're going to talk about is 1,000 Words, in which Eddie Murphy is cursed with only being able to say 1,000 words. He's tied to a tree, by the way. Not,
right.
I mean, linked to a tree, not
right.
tied. Physically tied to a tree? I'd watch that. But say 1,000 words before he dies, yet still manages to sound annoying.
Jack McCaw would say anything to get what he wants, but he just lied.
You agree to have my book published?
That goes without saying. You have my word, sir.
To the wrong guy.
You and this tree are now connected.
Hello?
When you talk, all the leaves fall off the tree.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, ribs.
What happens when a tree loses all its leaves?
I could die?
What do I got, 1,000 words left?
What's funny about this movie is I think it's only opening in like, it's got a relatively small opening, like under 2,000 theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe it's because they realize Eddie Murphy's
Eddie Murphy.
Terrible. I liked him in Tower Heist.
I did too. I thought he was great in Tower Heist. Yeah. I was impressed. It felt like an old Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah. But this one looks like it's going to be, you know, Imagine That and Norbit all over
the
again.
The Love Guru.
Oh, he wasn't even in
it. No, but it's like his Love Guru.
It's like if you want to make the Love Guru worse,
oh.
Bring Eddie Murphy in. Love Guru 2.
Straight to DVD.
Oh my God, that'd be awful. Anyways, they did not screen this. In fact, I emailed the publicist. The words were, they're not screening this in any market.
No, I was kind of looking around for it, and there is not a single comment on it anywhere.
It is done. So it gets
well
a preemptive.
Hidden.
Preemptive suck. Everyone knew it was going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we're going to go to a break. And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We were just talking about 1,000 words with Eddie Murphy.
1,000 words or less.
1,000 words.
Nice.
Yeah. I wish it was less than 1,000 words. I remember when they announced that movie, and everyone's like, maybe he'll have less to say. No, he still had plenty to say.
He'll have plenty to say, and then he'll just flail around a lot and look silly.
Yeah.
Which is even more annoying, really,
It'll be
I think
the opening of a Bill Cosby TV show from the 90s. When all he did was just mug at the camera.
But does he wear the sweaters? Because if he wore the sweaters, then that might be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he wears sweaters.
Oh, okay.
Probably doesn't.
Never mind.
Anyways.
Moving on.
Let's move on to the next movie. This is John Carter, in which Andrew Stanton directs this big budget adaptation of the Edgar Rice Burroughs stories of a man who travels to Mars to lead a revolution.
When I saw you, I believed it's something new. Can
come into this world.
You are John Carter of Earth?
Yes, ma'am. What happened to this place?
A new power threatens to destroy our city.
That don't look like a fair fight.
Now, this one we have seen.
Yes.
We both have seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, first crack. Kristen, what do you think?
I think it's one of those things that if you don't know the story already, you will be hopelessly lost. Because I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Well, it's not that complex.
The first 5 minutes, they go through the entire politics of the entire planet of Mars and everybody who's involved and all of these different names that are all completely Martian names.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you've got all these characters and all these warring countries and you've got these wizardy people and all the stuff going on. And it goes by in like 3 minutes and then the story starts and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I felt through the whole thing.
But it has Lily Collins in like a brass bikini through the whole movie.
Yes. Which I'm sure is appealing for you. And
I was just mesmerized when she was on screen.
She is absolutely beautiful.
I love
I'll
her.
Give you that much.
She's not a great actor.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, like Wolverine, I'll watch anything she's in Wolverine. she was naked in like True Blood.
Which gives it extra stars from Kevin.
Yeah.
I know the Kevin rating system.
That's right. That's right. So... You know, you're right. It is. There's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I've not read the books completely. I got about a third of the way through the first one. Just
okay.
It's a thick read because it's written in the 20s.
Right.
Tarzan is a better read if you go by Edgar Rice Burroughs' works because, and I believe John Carter was his first.
It
novel.
Was. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is. It's tough to get through. And the part I'm at, I mean, he gets to Mars and he meets the green Martians.
Right.
We haven't even gotten close to the human Martians yet in the book. So they're, I mean, they're only like 50 pages in. So, I mean, it's one of those things that it's, you know, I'm going on like part of the book.
I can totally understand that it would be really difficult to take that book and turn it into a movie.
Yeah.
But I think in the end, it kind of comes off as a little uneven and some parts are really slow and you're like, okay, get on with it already. And some parts you're like, whoa, slow down.
Well, I think part of that is because that's the way the book is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
I've
seen some people criticize the movie and say, well, you know, there's pacing issues and there's plot issues. But I'm like, it's kind of like that's what's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not inaccurate. I'll say at least the part that I read. I sound like such an idiot being like, oh, I read that part of the book. But.
I read 10 pages.
It feels like it's at least accurate, but it's a challenge to adapt.
Yeah.
And even right now, there's floating around. You can watch the first 10 minutes online.
that might help.
It might help, but it also doesn't give a good sense of what the entire... Because I think in the first 10 minutes, he doesn't even get to Mars yet.
That's true.
You know, there's a lot of other stuff going on
on Earth.
Yeah. I mean, there's the opening sequence, which is really cool. There's an opening like space.
See, I would like to watch the opening sequence about 5 times before I go in to see the movie because then maybe I could take notes.
Yeah.
And I could have like a chart of all of these people and who they are and what their names are, and then I could have a cheat sheet when I go in and watch the movie.
Yeah.
Well, so that might help.
But then the movie is like boogity boo, we got like big ships and blowing things up.
It's true.
And that's awesome.
And then it's kind of fun and all the effects are awesome.
Yeah.
I will give it that much.
Yeah.
But I think personally, to me, it just felt like Andrew Stanton just bit off a little more than he can chew with his first one.
Like I said, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to adapt.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, you see that all the time with movies and television shows that get brought into a movie or books, you know, books, original source material. Watchmen's a great example. I thought the Watchmen movie was a fantastic adaptation of it, but it's a challenge to make into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that they're talking about doing the Foundation series by Isaac Asimov. That's a challenge because a lot of it's people talking and math and all this kind of stuff that doesn't exactly make an exciting movie.
That sounds like an exciting movie. Now, I would enjoy that.
If you're a mathlete.
I was a math minor for a year and a half in college.
Really?
I was.
Quick, what's the square root of 5?
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I let's just say I liked John Carter. I respect John Carter. I think it was a good version of it. I don't know how accessible it is going to be to everybody, but like I said, it has these really cool scenes in it.
I think it's a lot of fun for fanboys who have read the book and who know the story. And I think for everybody else who just doesn't care and can go in and watch all this flying saucers and all the spaceships and all the action, it's fun. You know, it's an entertaining movie. It just, it's really complicated.
Yeah, it sometimes, well, you know, it's sort of like, I look at it like this. It's kind of like when, and not to compare it because it's like, oh, early March release, 300. It's like 300 where you don't need to know anything about Spartan history to get 300 and to enjoy it. Now, if you did, it might even bother you more, but it's not like Where's Like Anonymous last year was that Shakespeare movie. If you didn't know your Shakespeare and Elizabethan history, you were lost.
Were you lost?
I was so lost.
Oh.
My dad is a huge fan of Elizabethan history and British history and that kind of thing. It was his favorite movie of the year. And I'm like, I didn't get any of it because I was like so confused.
See, the rest of my career in college, I was an English major. So, you know, all the English lit stuff, that is my thing. So for me, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like I said, my dad, who loves that stuff, eats it up.
It was like Us Weekly for English majors. That's what it was for me. It was fun.
It was Gossip Town.
It was.
Gossip Girl in the 1500s? Am I even right on the 1400s?
1200s. Just move on.
600 BC. Anyways, I'm going to say John Carter kind of rocks. It's not full on rocks. Like I said, it's not as accessible as it could be. It's got a lot to overcome because it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a success of a movie. It's just how, I still don't have a play of what the audiences are going to think of it.
Yeah. Well, personally, for me, since there is no meh rating, I will give it a kind of rocks, too.
Should we have the rocks, kind of rocks?
Meh. That's how I've been feeling a lot about movies lately.
Well,
so
it's the beginning of the year.
Even last year, I felt a lot.
Really?
Through most of the year.
Okay.
It was kind of a meh kind of year.
All right. Well, let's move on to another movie.
Let's do that.
It's Silent House. Elizabeth Olsen stars in this thriller about a home invasion shot in real time.
On Friday, March 9th, at 7:20 p.m., one of the most shocking and twisted incidents ever recorded befell Sarah Murphy and her father. Their ordeal lasted 88 minutes. Witness these true events in real time.
I just thought I heard something upstairs.
This is one that kind of came out. To me, it kind of came out of nowhere because everyone's like, normally what happens, and you do this because you get emails from
all the
publicists,
time.
And they're like Hunger Games. You knew Hunger Games. They were like, Hunger Games concept art, like seven years ago coming out.
We got emails about every single step of the casting process.
Oh, my God.
About who might be cast and who wasn't cast. And here's an email about who was cast in this small role.
And one, Silent House, is kind of like, they're like, poster and trailer for Silent House, and then it comes out a month later.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think
you know why.
It's because Elizabeth Olsen was in Martha, Marcy, and Marlene. That's, I think, the only reason it's getting as much note as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But this one they did not screen for us. I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm not a big fan of the the hopeless attack on people type movies.
Yeah,
this
no.
seems like The Strangers.
It's supposed to be a psychological horror a little more.
Okay,
which I like if it's done well.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see it. I'm gonna go check it out. Just because I do that sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
I check out
you
movies.
You see movies?
Every now and then.
That's really kind of strange.
I'm going to see that. And it was funny because I sent an email to somebody I do radio reviews with. And I'm like, well, okay, Thousand Words or Silent House? Which one do you want? Because they didn't screen either. And he's like, well, you make the call. And I'm like, probably going to have to do I'll probably have to do 1,000 Words just because people want to hear me rant on that.
See, because if it were me and you asked me, I would make you see 1,000 Words.
I know you
just
would.
Because.
Because you want me to.
Because I'm a horrible person that way.
I suffered through One for the Money. I'm one of the few people who actually saw that.
I actually saw it too, and I didn't mind it.
Well, did you read the book?
I read the book.
You probably loved the book.
I did love the book. Yeah.
But it was,
I didn't love the first book as much, but I liked the series.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So, and I think it was, you know, I didn't mind her in this one.
Well, I'll tell you, we got to go to
I usually
a break.
Do. Okay, okay.
And you can tell me then why she
no,
was okay.
No, that's okay. We can move on.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Woo, woo. That's it. You're like, I don't know what else to say.
I don't know what to say. Who am I? I don't know who I am. You know who we haven't seen lately, though?
Katherine Heigl. You have to explain yourself on this business. I'm sorry. You can't just leave and say, well, I thought she was okay. No.
You know why maybe I thought she was okay?
You can swear in this segment, by the way. Because I sure as hell
Well, if we're going to talk about Katherine Heigl. You know why I thought she was okay in this one?
Okay, why?
Because she's usually so bad. That normally she's so bad that it hurts.
Yeah.
And this time she wasn't that bad.
It was way better than the hand job scene in The Ugly Truth.
Yeah.
I look like I'm giving him a hand job on the Jumbotron? I didn't know.
Right. So I think that's it. I think that was it for me.
You just thought she was okay.
Yeah.
She was like, she wasn't offensive.
I didn't think she was great. You know, because I read the book. So, you know, you kind of have an idea of who you want in this role. And she definitely was not it.
No,
but
I've heard from
people
who've read the book that she was not a good choice.
Oh, no, no. In fact, the entire cast was just a terrible choice. But they
no
kinda...
love for John Leguizamo?
No, not so much.
I don't know what that voice was. I don't know where I suddenly defended John Leguizamo.
There are so many things about that movie that I could complain about, you know, as a fan of the book. But
So what you're saying, I'm going to put words in your mouth right now.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I know. I use this analogy to my son. I think it was my son or maybe somebody else. Where I said, you know what? It's kind of like if I were to give you a bad McDonald's hamburger, you know, a stale bun, and you know the patty's kind of cold and chewy, and I were to like put crap on that burger. And give it to you, and you'd eat it, you'd be like, this tastes terrible. It tastes like shit. Well, it is shit. Okay. You know, and then I would feed you one every, like you do this, but, you know, every week or every day or whatever. And then after a week, I'd just give you one without the poop on it. Even if it was the worst hamburger ever, you'd be like, this actually tastes really pretty good.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have crap on it.
So that's what I'm saying about Katherine Heigl.
That is Katherine. Katherine Heigl is just, it's not a completely shitty performance.
Exactly. And that was a pleasant surprise for me. So I'll take it.
Katherine Heigl. That's what's going to be, you know, I think for the DVD, let me call the publicist, and the DVD cover box is going to be like,
Katherine Heigl isn't so shitty.
Is the crappy McDonald's hamburger without the poop.
I can see that.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we need to move away from that. I'm contractually obligated to talk about excrement at some point during the show.
We have talked about a lot of interesting things on this show.
You should listen to last week. Oh man,
sometimes I'm afraid
it's funny.
So
it's, yeah, let's talk box office, because then we can talk about something else that's completely covered in shit. Not the Lorax. I thought the Lorax was charming.
I like the Lorax.
The Lorax was, it was cute, but I thought what I said last week was that it was that all the stuff they added, because the book's like, you can read it in 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I didn't like all the stuff they added just because it just fluffed it up too much. But, I mean, overall it was cute. And it made a ton of money. It made over $70 million.
Yeah.
Which is really good for like a February.
Biggest movie of the year.
Yeah.
Which, for good reason.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, we now have something that will overtake The Vow.
Oh, dear.
But let's talk more about Project X, which is $21 million.
Oh.
Not a big surprise, because all like the 20-somethings and teenagers are like, yeah, that's my epic party. That's what my birthday's going to be like.
Yeah, okay.
You hated that movie, too.
I hated that movie, yeah. That was another one of those things that was painful for me,
yeah.
Sitting through that. I was so sick when I walked out of it, just because of the whole shaky cam.
And that's it's nauseating.
Yeah, that's bad enough for me. But then on top of it, the fact that all of the characters were obnoxious and nothing happens in it. And yeah, pretty much I just hated it in general.
What surprised me was how many people I saw as critics. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. I know people, because I'm 40, okay? Everybody knows that who listens to the show. if they care.
I'm not.
You're not 40, but I'm a parent, you know, so I can cut. You can be like, oh, you're just such an old fart dude, man, and you don't like it because you're old. And it's like, yeah, I do approach it as a parent. I do approach it as this guy was just trying to have him be quiet so his baby could sleep. And then later in this movie, they're like talking about burning the house and murdering his child and wife. And they're like, oh, no, it's too late to do that. It wasn't, no, I'm horrified that that was your idea.
Well, and that's what I was talking with another critic, Jason Zingale from Bullseye.
Who on the hated way it out. As well. I read his
review. And, you know, we were talking about writing up the review. And he said, there is no way that you can write up this review without sounding like a cranky old man.
Yeah.
And I know that my review probably, I probably sounded like a cranky old man too.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is, you know? In the end, it just makes it look like that's okay.
Yeah.
Like everything they do was good because in the end, people know who he is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Even his dad is impressed in the end. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And well, it's funny. And I was going to bring up Jason because I read his review because I was curious because I saw him at the screening.
Yeah.
I kind of figured you wouldn't like it.
Really?
But
because I hate stuff in general. Is that why?
Because
I'm so cranky.
Because you're a hateful person and you have coal in your heart.
You know, it's amazing how often people tell me that. It's really kind of sad.
Do you get that in a fortune cookie every now and then?
Yeah. People send me emails like that every day. And I say, Mom, stop emailing me.
Well, because Jason, it's not that I was expecting Jason but I could see him being like, oh, it's okay. It's what it was. Because, you know, everybody's capable of that.
Yeah.
And he makes the point that he's still in his 20s because he is.
He's just
barely in his 20s. And there's a guy on Film School Rejects, Brian Salisbury, who wrote this long diatribe about it. And he's in his mid-20s, and he hated the movie possibly more than I did. And my pull quote on Rotten Tomatoes was not to stoop to hyperbole, but this could be the worst movie that's ever been made in the history of time.
Right.
So, and I think Brian hated it more than I did.
Well, even Jason and I were talking about it in the middle of the movie because we were bored. And, you know, we both commented on it that who is the audience for this movie? Because really, you know, it's one of those movies that teenage geeks kind of, ooh, you know, it's a big party and we're going to be popular and that's cool for us.
Yeah.
But it's a rated R movie. Yeah. So it's not like the 14-year-old geek from your high school can go and see this movie. And, you know, everybody else is just like, you know, drunken frat boys and pedophiles, really. I don't know who else would be interested in this movie.
I saw somebody online on Twitter say this, and I forget who it was. It may have been... Eric Davis. I don't know who said it, but he said, he goes, this will do really well in the douchebag crowd. And that's really what it's for.
Yeah. That's
and their girlfriends. I tutor a kid in algebra and he's a freshman. And last week I tutored him right before I went to go see the movie. And, and he was like, oh, have you seen Project? I go, yeah. I go, I'm not, he's like, what? That looks awesome. I'm like, cause you're 16.
Oh yeah.
You know, or 15. I don't know. He's 15 or 16. He's a freshman.
Whatever.
So, however old they are at that age. And then I saw him again this week, and he asked what I said, and I told him, I said, it could be the worst movie. He's like, what? What about Sucker Punch? I mean, Sucker Punch was a genius work before this one. I mean, I said, name a movie, it's better than that, or this movie's better than Project X. But I do think it's interesting that there are people in their 20s who hate this movie, too. So it's not just, I think, but what kind of flummoxes me is it's got like a, not that this is a good rating, a good critical consensus, but it has like a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So there are people who actually liked it.
Yeah, which basically means that one in every three critics actually gave it a positive review, which I find just amazing.
I find that very troubling for our colleagues in general.
Well, and I looked at a lot of people's review, and especially the ones that are positive review, and I listened to some of them, and some are friends of mine. But it tends to be when I hear people give a positive review to Project X, they're kind of like, we're old. It's not for me. And I'm like, no. If you make a movie about rape and like Rape the Musical, and you'd be like, well, it's not for me. It's for rapists. That doesn't mean it's a good movie.
Well, there's a fine line, you know, because there are a lot of kids movies that, they weren't made for me.
Yeah.
But I can understand them and appreciate them and enjoy them anyway.
And what's funny is these are the same critics that will come up and be like, oh, like Alvin and the Chipmunks was terrible. I'm like, it was made for six-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah. So they won't give that a pass. But I think a lot of them are saying it because I honestly, not too many of them, but I think some of them just, they don't want to be they don't want to be labeled uncool. The old fart who's uncool. I totally think that they're like,
I'll
do
it. I'll be uncool. I hated it.
Oh, it was awful. But I do think that there is a certain level of people not wanting to declare it bad because they would be seen as unhip. And I've seen people that I'm just like, that's just, you're, because I saw somebody say that and they're like, well, if it was made for me, I'd give it 0 stars. I give it a 0, but it's not made for me. I'm like, no, have some balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, as a future parent,
yeah,
it terrified me. And I did say, you know, walking out of there, I said to Jason, man, I am so glad I'm having a girl. And Jason said, well,
the girls in that movie,
the girls were topless. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah. And they went to model and titty high, as Alonzo Duraldi,
yeah,
said. I heard him, friend of the show, said that. And I think that's great because I did not go to model and titty high.
No, I didn't either.
I wish I did. Because apparently...
I don't know. Maybe I did, and I just wasn't there because on the weekends, I hung out with my friends and watched Monty Python.
Yeah, apparently all you have to do is put up a sign that says no clothes, and they're like, oh, right. Okay, I'm going to take it. Even though everyone
naked
has a camera
only.
Phone.
Yeah.
That's what it was, naked girls only. Right. I'm blocking it out. This movie child molested me. So I'm like, I'm blocking it out.
That was a terrible mental picture. Even worse than the movie, I think.
You know what, if I don't give awful mental imagery to my co-hosts,
it is your job.
It I feel like I've
shilling. Shilling and bad mental pictures. You should put that on your resume.
I should. That's my mutant power. Anyways, what do you think's going to win this weekend? Oh, by the way, the other movies, they went down. I mean, Act of Valor or for the very fancy Navy SEALs, Act of Allure.
Did you see that one? Because yeah. I was on vacation when...
It's just a flag waver. It's you know, everything that everyone says, you know, as well, it's jingoist propaganda. Well, okay, sure. But so, I mean, it's not like they're hiding it.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're like, it's, you know, going in, it's just one giant.
Well, yeah, if you don't, you shouldn't see that movie.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
So I was fine with it. I mean, it was just whenever they were acting, I was just like, oh, there's a fly in the room. I'm looking around. So,
I think this week's box office is a pretty easy one. It's John
1,000
Carter.
Words, $100 million over the weekend. Right.
Right. I think John Carter will do well. I know a lot of people who are really excited to see it.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll do 70 million.
I don't think so.
I think it's good for 50. For the whole weekend.
Okay.
Because there's not, because the Lorax will still do okay. I mean, the Lorax will make in the 30s.
Well, the Lorax is one that you can see again. Yeah. I think after you see John Carter, you might be like, okay, I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't know the legs of John Carter.
I don't
know
that I need to see it again.
But yeah, I think the Lorax is still going to... I think John Carter's going to beat the Lorax, just because I think there's a lot of hype, especially
there
in the
is,
mainstream.
There is, yeah. You know, like I said, I know a lot of fanboys who are very excited to see it.
And it's upping up against 1,000 Words and Silent House, and neither of those are going to
exactly.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if... Project X beats both of those.
Oh,
did you hear they announced this week that they're going to do Project X? Probably it'll be Project X squared.
I can't wait.
They're coming up.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have like some kind of a deadly disease that week.
It's good. It's a good time to schedule that. Yeah. Well, you know what was funny about that is the announcement was their how they worded it. I forget exactly. I wish I had the email in front of me, but it was to the effect it said. The writers are going to start developing a script. And I'm like, they didn't have a script for this one.
No.
For Christ's sake. They're like, midget, let's throw him in the oven. Nutsack punch. Bam. The end.
You know, I still have my appendix. I think I might.
So do I. It's in a drawer.
I might actually have it scheduled to be taken out that week.
Yeah, because, yeah, that's a good idea.
The week of the screening.
And if
I'm pretty sure it needs to come out.
I would find, even if I didn't have my appendix, I would find somebody's appendix and just claim I needed it taken out.
There you go.
I said, I need this person's appendix.
And put in me.
Yeah, put it in me. And then we can take it out again. But as long as it's during the Project X. Did I tell you I actually unrequested that the Project X Blu-ray?
Did you?
Yeah. I originally requested because I thought it was the Matthew Broderick Project X.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where they beat monkeys.
Well.
Well, they slapped apes. That doesn't
monkeys.
Sound any better.
No.
Anyways. Yeah. I think John Carter will win this weekend. It's got an uphill battle because I apparently cost $200 million, which is a lot of money to spend
on
a movie.
It cost a lot of money. It's a lot of movie, a lot of money for a March release too.
Yeah,
that's a ton.
Well, it's the thing is, few movies that get released in March make $200 million anyways.
I know.
I mean, the gold standard is
pretty much giving it, you know.
Yeah, it's good for $150 million total gross, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and then I mean, overseas it might do well. Who knows? Those crazy foreigners like some crazy ass stuff.
Yeah. It's starting a big step down, though, because it's opening in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because even, like, the gold standard is 300. Everyone uses that as saying, well, that's the one that made so much money in March. And I think that ended up, like, 215. I don't know what the final box office is off the top of my head.
I kind of feel bad for Andrew Stanton because of that.
Yeah. You know? But, see, here's the thing. This is where everyone's like, oh, look how much money he made for Disney with WALL-E and... Finding Nemo. This is
he's still
well in the black.
I'm okay if he goes back to Pixar.
Yeah, it's just not as impressive of a live action debut as Brad Bird was.
Oh no.
So
nope.
All right. Well, let's move on to we got a listener feedback. This has nothing to do with necessarily asking us a question, but we last week our big this is probably I don't know if this is in your show notes or not. Is it?
It is.
Oh, okay.
It is, yep.
I was talking about Dr. Seuss books last week and what our favorite one was. And Ty from St. Louis wrote in and said, he goes, you may already know this being a fan of Dr. Seuss, but if not, the Green Eggs and Ham poem, because it's a poem basically, came about because Dr. Seuss bet his publisher that he could write a book using no more than 50 words. Nice. Yep, there are only 50 words used in that story. They are, here are the words, A, M, and anywhere, R, B, box, car, could,
you miss boat.
Dark, boat, did I? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do, eat, eggs, fox, goat, good green ham, here, house, I, if, in, let, like, may, me, mouse, not, on, or, rain, Sam, say, so, see, thank thee, that's them there.
Whoa.
They train tree, try with will would you queef. Queef's not in there. I'm just, that was a joke.
I was going to say, because, you know, you're throwing all kinds of words around there. And...
yeah.
I've got it in front of me and I can't follow you.
Oh, it sounds like I was like talking in code. It is, was, were, one, win, win.
Mm-hmm.
So. Interesting.
That is very interesting.
You know, I think I'd heard that somewhere.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
I didn't.
Are you a big Dr. Seuss fan?
I like Dr. Seuss, but I did not know that.
Yeah. I
do you know the song Green Eggs and Ham?
No, I don't.
By Moxie Fruvis?
Please sing it for us.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I have been caught in that trap before on this show. There is no singing this time.
That's right.
No,
that was a stinger on one of our episodes.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Thank you very much. No, it was by a Canadian band, Moxie Fruvis.
Of course.
Green Eggs and Ham.
You and your Canadians. You love them Canadians.
Well, yeah, I kind of do.
You love one
of them. I am married to one of them. But I knew
it was a green card marriage.
I knew of Moxie Fruvis before I met my husband because I went to a college that was full of Canadians because I was from Michigan.
Oh.
So
did you say a lot? Did you like pick up? Did you start saying a boot?
No, but I can turn it on if I need to.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you talk like
kind of like you know when I lived in Massachusetts, I could turn it on if I needed to.
Really?
Yeah.
Turn it on.
No.
You need to. This is you need to.
Mm-mm.
Turn on one of them.
Nope, not going to do it.
Can you talk, can you use Massachusetts slang in a Canadian accent? Let's do that.
That would take some practice.
I feel like there's this old like 2020 episode where they have this autistic guy who can play any song, but he can be like, play Sweet Child of Mine in a Cole Porter style. And he can do that on the piano.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I had friends who would do that. They would take popular songs and turn them into a polka.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Canadians love polka.
You know, no, they weren't Canadians.
No?
No. They were actually from Michigan. They did The Freshman. Do you remember the song The Freshman?
No.
By The Verve Pipe, also a Michigan band.
Wow, you know some really, or I just know nothing.
Well, that could be. So, yeah, they took that song and turned it into a polka. But it was really, you know, this thoughtful, moving song that they played in a polka. And it was awesome.
It was at a Weird Al, like a Weird Al
concert? Oh, totally, yeah.
That's so awesome.
I went to a Weird Al concert once.
I would have loved it.
I was 11. They opened for the Monkees.
Oh, the Monkees.
Speaking of Davy Jones.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, he's very sad that day. I was totally boned for the rest of the day.
A lot of people died this recently. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because everyone always says they come in threes. But there's been like weird, like Don Cornelius commits suicide, and then Whitney Houston
yeah.
drowns because she's high on crack. And but then there was like Ralph McQuarrie from concept artist, and then Robert Sherman died this week. Great Disney composer. So it's not like threes, but it's all these like you have to be a movie geek to know a lot of these names. You know, so now I'm depressed.
Sorry.
I giggle when I'm depressed. Is there anything else going on? Anything you want to vent about?
I don't know. I think it'll probably come up as we go. Well, so we can.
Well, this is the open segment. You can say whatever you want here. If you want to complain about anything, if you want to complain about some driver, you want to complain about your neighbors putting a pool in their backyard,
you know,
and filling it with orange juice.
Drivers in Ohio in the middle of winter. Can I rant about them for a little while?
We don't have much of a winter.
Because we haven't had much. But even if we do, if there's a little bit of snow,
yeah.
forget about driving anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy because it's been an incredibly mild winter. And that's the way it is across the nation right now.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be a mild winter because I don't think this trend's going to continue. It's not like suddenly global warming kicked up the temperature 50
just
degrees.
Just this year. Yeah.
No, it's because the last couple of years it's been like sub-zero temperatures and insanely cold. But we're still going to get cold weather at the end of March, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, we'll get a blizzard at the end of March. That's how it usually works.
Always is. Well, and I always say, you know, there's an old saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb. It's always the opposite in Ohio.
Yeah.
Usually it's like you get really nice weather at the beginning of March, and then you just get a snowstorm.
Oh, yeah. I know, because I go to the Cleveland Film Festival at the end of the month.
Well, there you go.
So quite often when you get there, there's a blizzard.
Yeah.
There was one year they actually had like all the streets in Cleveland were shut down because there was so much snow and people were walking to the film festival like down the middle of the city streets because nobody was there.
It takes a lot to shut down the streets. And I mean, it takes like an inch and a half of snow in Columbus, but.
Right.
In Cleveland, they get snow
a couple
all the
of
time.
Flakes.
Yeah.
People freak out.
The other day, it was like just barely, it was enough to like, it looked like somebody like sprinkled powdered sugar on the lawn.
Oh, yeah, and then it's all over.
Looked like Robbie Downey Jr. had a field day with his cocaine.
Nice. So, yeah, I grew up in Michigan. So, where I grew up, we learned how to drive in this stuff.
Yeah.
We saw it. We taught our children how to drive in the snow.
Yeah.
I would drive to school in a Volkswagen Rabbit in like 3 feet of snow, and I was fine.
Yeah.
And here, the snow starts, and people are like, oh, no, I can't drive. I don't know what to do.
Well, what's great is it's like, it happens every year.
I know.
How did you forget? Like,
have you never seen snow before? Because I've lived here for, you know, like 7 years, and I'm pretty sure I've seen snow here.
Yeah.
And people here, they just, it's like they have this amnesia or something that only lasts through the summer.
I live down the road from an old folks home. Oh my freaking God. You have no idea what it's like. I've like passed people to turn left. So somebody's like ready to turn left and they're just not going.
Yeah.
There's no cars coming. So I have to pass them to turn left.
Well, it's funny because
I'm an idiot.
Every week I have to drive downtown to get to the radio station to record our show.
Yeah.
And on those days, if it snows, then John, my co-host, is sitting there waiting for me. And he knows when I walk in the door. He knows it's coming. And he'll just, he'll stand there and just wait for me. And he'll give me that look. And he's like, so, how are our fellow Columbus drivers today? And then it just goes off from there. And it's just a mess.
And then you're like, face turns red and smoke comes out of your ears.
So you've seen this.
I'm familiar
with
it. You know what's funny? Here's something that's interesting. I don't have it pulled up because I actually don't have... We're at a different... we're in a roving magical studio in the sky
a
right now.
A roving magical studio. Yeah. Is that what we're calling
we're
it?
We're actually in a face-to-face studio. This is the second week in a row that I've done a face-to-face recording. It's kind of nice. Well, a lot of times my co-hosts are in different areas.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, I mean like...
This is kind of fun though.
I miss this.
It's kind of
really
rambly.
Do.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah, it always gets
you know, because we've been talking for like 6 hours before we started doing the show. So.
That happens. That's why
it
I do
it. It does all the time, I know.
Well, no, but I mean, last week I had Nick Harriman, on, and he was local, so we had a face-to-face. But before that, I think it was Leonard Wilson, and he's in New York, and I had Ronald Nichols, and he's up in Calgary somewhere. And, you know, I've had people from all over, so it's nice to be able to, you know, sit across. And it's,
make faces at each other.
That's right. So I can look at you. You can see, you know, that's what I was doing. I was making my O face for Nick last week, and that kind of bothered him.
Nice.
That was the imagery that was going in his head. I will spare you from
that. I think mine was probably worse.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
What was yours was being child molested by
yes.
Project X.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just want to oh. throw that out there again.
Oh, there it is again.
And there I am. I'm weeping. I'm
oh,
crying,
dear.
Clutching my teddy bear. Anyways, we did get reviewed on a podcast review site, which is interesting.
Oh.
I'm not gonna make anything personal, or whatever. He kind of gave us a middling review. He did say I was very amicable, which is nice.
I'd say you're pretty amicable.
Yeah, he said it like 8 times. He's like it was like he really wanted to drive home the fact that I seemed like a nice guy. where I'm not, I'll like totally like pour sugar in your gas tank and kick you in the balls if I have a chance.
I don't know. People ask me about you sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
I had that. I went in to get my hair cut and told her what I did, and she said, "Do you know that guy Kevin Carr from Fat Guys at the Movies?
Yes.
Is he really fat?"
And you'd be like, "Yes, he's fucking huge."
And every time I go in there now, she talks about you.
Wow.
Because she hears you on the radio and she thinks of me, and it's this whole connection now.
It's really
because
funny.
Because I know you.
Well,
because
it is true. I am overweight. and what's really funny is when I meet people, like, and they don't want to say, what are you from again? And I'll be like, fat guys. Like, yeah. You didn't want to say it, did you? Like, no. Like, I named the show.
Yeah.
It's not like some bullies in third grade named the show for me. I was like, I'm going to do a show called Movies Are Awesome with Kevin Carr. And they're like, no, you're going to call it Fat Guys in the Movies. Fatty, fat, fat. I did name the show.
I hate when that happens.
Well, you're getting that now.
Yeah. My next show is Movies with Cold and Heartless.
Soulless Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer. I Hate the World with Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Get off my lawn.
Even My Mom Hates Me with Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
That should be good. But yeah, the guy, well, I did find it interesting. He complained that he's like, they just talk about movies and new releases at that. I'm like,
what?
That's okay. And he's like, because then he was complaining that we don't do any real in-depth discussion of movies, which isn't my thing anyways. You read my reviews.
No.
I don't dissect movies. I'm not going to like sit down and do a 3-hour show about Tree of Life.
Oh, goodness.
Unless it's me bitching for 3 hours.
I could do 3 hours on Tree of Life. I think you and I could do at least 3 hours on Tree of Life. We could do a director's cut Tree of Life.
They should have, speaking of, I think a movie that would be an interesting crossover would be if Project X had Act of Valor fly into it.
Hmm.
And then they just...
What if Tree of Life only had 1,000 words?
Ooh. I think it only has 1,000 words.
That's
There's
true.
Not a whole lot of dialogue.
There
in
is
movie.
The whole thing with the creation of the universe and the dinosaurs.
There's
and there aren't
dinosaur.
Any words there.
The dinosaur doesn't go, what the fuck was that all about? I just got eaten.
You know, I was thinking that, you know, with the whole dead brother thing, the plot line in Tree of Life, that yeah. what would have been really cool is if in the end the dinosaur would have eaten the brother. Because we
yeah.
never really find out what happened to the brother. And they make such a big deal of it in the beginning. And
yeah.
they're like, you know, what happens to the brother? I would like to see the dinosaur eat the brother.
I'd like to see the dinosaur eat the entire movie.
Well, there's that.
That would have been awesome.
That would have made our day a whole lot easier.
But his complaint was that we don't do in-depth discussion and we just talk new releases. And he says, well, it doesn't differentiate from any other show that's out there. And I'm like, well, wait, all the other movie podcasts do in-depth discussion or pick a topic of the week. A lot of them do. So I don't know. He seemed like a nice enough guy. He seemed very amicable in his review.
Well,
but he basically said
you guys could be friends. You should hang out.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'd buy him a beer for at least promoting my site. Even if it was don't listen to this.
Nice.
So, anyways, anything else going on here?
No press is bad press.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've had my diatribe of the week, so...
Yeah. No, I don't
anything
really
you've got?
Well, we can use the Fat Guy 5 as a diatribe.
Oh, we can do that.
That's right.
Let's do that.
This is the 5 words, instead of 1,000 words, that best describe Eddie Murphy's movies or career.
Now, we were discussing this earlier.
Yeah.
Now, what do we mean by that? Do we mean the 80s movies or the recent ones?
Well, I think each of us had thrown out a couple of them. And I think we all just, each of us has to explain why we chose the word. I'm going to use anticlimactic.
Okay.
Because he had such great movies at the beginning. Yeah, he had Best Defense. We all know that garbage existed. But I mean, mm-hmm. Trading Places, 48 Hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like within a year of each other. And then like even later ones like The Golden Child, which wasn't as great. It's still really good.
Yep.
Beverly Hills Cop. And now, I mean, he got like Norbit. And this thousand words look terrible. And imagine that these are, it's anticlimactic because it came on so strong, and then you're just kind of like, well, this is it. This is what he's ending with.
Well, yeah, and connecting to that, I will take my first word.
Yes.
Painful.
Painful?
Yes. Sometimes physically so. Because it is the
same thing. Where were you physically hurt by one of his movies? I want to know.
In my brain.
you struck out.
I can feel it, yeah.
In the middle of Norbit. Yeah.
No, sometimes it hurts your very soul to sit through these movies.
We're getting spiritual now.
Yes. Can we bring in the choir?
That's right.
Yes. We did bring in a choir for this week's show.
Yeah.
But no, because, you know, like you were talking about anticlimactic, because for so long, Eddie Murphy movies were good, and you'd go to see them to laugh and to be happy. And, you know, it kind of hurts to see someone who used to be funny just turn into something so sad.
Who definitely still has the ability to be funny because
Tower Heist. Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to transport somebody from like 1986, 1988 and just bring them here or bring the DVDs back or maybe I'm overthinking.
Well, really, if we're working on time travel, you can do anything you want, really.
I'm overthinking the technology.
It's your own concept here.
But I'd love to bring somebody and show them the Eddie Murphy movies, and it would be unrecognizable. It really would be. I mean, we're not talking about people complaining about the prequels and the original Star Wars. I mean, you can still see Lucas's influence. We're talking about Eddie Murphy, where just like he made this after Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, depressing. I'm going to use racist.
Okay.
You said painful.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I stepped on your word.
Thanks for that.
Racist is mine.
Speaking of anticlimactic.
Yeah, sorry. Mm. But racist, just because he tends to just... He does a lot of racial jokes, and not like the racial jokes he's quote unquote allowed to do. You know, I mean, it's not like Mel Brooks making Jewish jokes.
Right.
It'd be like Mel Brooks making Vietnamese jokes.
Okay.
Because in Norbit, he literally went in yellow face.
He did.
And
played
an
Asian
dude.
That was one of the characters.
And he did like he did an old Jewish man in Coming to America, even though that was a good movie. But I would love him to play that character and then have Robert Downey Jr. as Lincoln Osiris show up. Be like, what do you mean, you people?
Brilliant.
So that's mine.
Are we up to my next word that you already gave away?
That nobody knows what it is. Please tell me.
Depressing.
Yeah.
Because, often in movies like Norbit or, you know, some of the other ones that have come out recently, I walk out feeling so sad. Because... It's not entertaining at all.
No, they're not.
And sometimes movies like that, I'll walk out and I'll be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll want to talk about it and talk about how horrible this movie is.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun because I'm so angry that it's fun to complain about it.
Yeah.
But a lot of these movies, there's just nothing to them. And it just kind of makes me walk out of the movie and go,
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. It's just not even enough to be angry about.
It just kills you. It sucks away your life energy.
It hurts your very soul, is what I'm saying.
You are, once again, getting spiritual.
You made the connection.
Well,
just saying.
Should run for office.
Okay.
my word that I'm going to use is hoogaloo, which I'm making it up.
Wow, that's even different than you said it last time.
I changed it because I want to make an explanation. Because that is the reaction you have when you see a movie. And you see, like there's a scene in the trailer for Thousand Words where he's like saying, oh, you can't say this? What about this? I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby.
Yeah.
And you just sit up and you go, huh? What? It's the general exclamation you make when you see an awfulness that is an Eddie Murphy movie recently.
And that word will be in the dictionary next year.
It better be, with Eddie Murphy's face next to it.
Nice.
As Norbit.
Wonderful.
All right. I think we're done with this segment.
Oh, it's about time.
I know, we better get going.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk about DVDs. And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We are back on the radio, and if you didn't hear us, if you're out there in Wyoming listening to us, you can go check us out at fatguysinthemovies.com. And listen to the middle segment. It's not too offensive. We actually... Well, you know,
it's because there's a chick in the studio.
That's right. We have a mixed audience or mixed we have a mixed company here in the magical studio in the sky. So I don't want to offend Kristen. I tried, but
you did a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. You offended my brain a little
I
bit.
I did offend your brain. You did have some imagery in your brain. Yeah. So we did that, but you can go and listen to the middle segment and listen to us talk about box office, talk about words that describe Eddie Murphy's career. You can also go listen to us, me actually grill Kristen as to why she was defending Katherine Heigl.
We also talk about snow in Ohio.
That's right. Snow in Ohio, mm-hmm. which nobody knows how to deal with in Ohio. But what's coming up next?
It is time for the world famous DVD roundup.
That's right. My Lucasfilm sound effect.
That's
right there.
Awesome.
See? We pay royalties for that. Every week. Go ahead and start, Kristen. What do you have?
Well, you know, this is kind of a tough week, but I'm going to stick with the Blu-rays this week.
Okay.
So one of the ones coming out is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Runaway.
Yes. Which I think is probably one of the most quoted comedies of all time. It has to be.
Oh, way up there.
And
way up there.
Yeah, I could probably recite the entire thing right now, but I kind of want to get a copy of it anyway.
Can you sing the Camelot song?
Actually, I do often.
Really?
When my husband and I went to London on vacation and we went to the Tower of London, I couldn't stop singing that song. We were in the dungeons and I couldn't stop singing it. And I know it was terrible.
Did you put yourself up
I
and do this?
Dude, I did the clap.
That's awesome. Did you
Let's
dine well
there
in Camelot?
It's a silly place.
Did you eat ham and jam and spam a lot?
We didn't. Yeah.
I've lost faith in you.
I know.
So is there anything else you want to highlight?
Well, we also have another one, To Catch a Thief, Blu-ray.
Yeah.
A great Hitchcock movie with Cary Grant, who is one of my favorites.
Yes.
And it's in the French Riviera.
Archibald.
Riviera.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of mine. Awesome. And a special one this week.
Aw.
Because I am expecting a little girl.
Aw.
I have Strawberry Shortcake, Berry Brick Road.
That is such an awesome movie. I think the torture sequence in the middle is a little bit much, but you can fast forward through that.
Yeah, with the kids.
Well, you know, speaking on the level with, you know, little girls movies, there's also Barbie in the Mermaid Tale 2,
mm-hmm.
which Universal's pushing. There's also Tooth Fairy 2 with Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, so excited about that
one. I'm sure you're dying to see that.
Because, you know, I love the first one.
More kids movies out, though, too, because you also have The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, and The Lion King 1.5,
mm-hmm.
which are the Lion King sequels that went direct to DVD. But I'll tell you, those were both... I'm often somewhat critical of the Disney-directed DVD sequels.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Little Mermaid 2 was terrible, and Mulan 2 was really boring. These the Lion King movies, I think, are actually really kind of raised the bar.
Hmm.
I thought they were fun movies. They weren't the original film, of course.
Right.
But and especially Lion King 1.5 is really neat because what it is it's a it tells the story of the Lion King from Timon and Pumbaa's point of view. Have you seen it?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, if you like Timon and Pumbaa, that's your thing. So they're on high def Blu-ray for the first time. There's also Footloose. You know, you got to cut loose for that.
Yep, and I'm also not going to sing that one either.
It was charming. I thought it was actually a better movie than I expected.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, it was still a little cheesy.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little teenagery.
Yeah.
But
that's what it's for.
Yeah.
It's way better
it's
than
not
Project
bad.
X.
Exactly.
There's also Immortals, which was, it's a bit rough and it's got
I'd
some
say
serious.
Rough was a pretty good word for it. Yeah.
Stripped problems, but I mean, it looks neat for sort of that sword and sandals.
There you go.
Fighting movie. And then The Skin I Live In, which is a movie that's, I'm not even going to begin to describe it, but it's a Spanish film.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's Antonio Banderas. It's a neat movie.
You can't unsee that movie.
It's completely ridiculous what happens in it, mm-hmm. but it kind of works in the context of the film.
It's really well done, and it's really captivating, but it is seriously the most disturbing movie you will see.
It's very twisted.
Very disturbing.
Well, and it's one of those movies that if you're like watching the last 20 minutes of it, and somebody comes in the room and is like, what's this about? You can't even begin to explain it. Not because it's hard to explain, but as you would
really
explain
want
it... You would be like, you wouldn't believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. So it's worth checking out.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that all of a sudden you realize where it's going and you just want it to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a couple. Universal is doing their 100-year releases.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their 100th anniversary. And so they're releasing some of their big movies. The Deer Hunter and Out of Africa are out on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched The Deer Hunter. It was the first time I'd seen it. So
really?
It's an interesting movie.
It is.
It takes its time.
Mm-hmm.
But... there's the stinker of the week is
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill, which I see there's a copy of it floating around the magical studio in the sky.
There is, and I'm trying desperately to get rid of it. But, you know, the funny thing is just yesterday I got an email from my niece, who's 10. And we were discussing a few things, and she has been bugging me about seeing this movie forever, about how awesome Adam Sandler is and how great this movie looks. I'm like, I'm not even going to burst your bubble, you poor child.
Yeah, wait till she gets older. You can't blame a 10-year-old for liking a movie like that.
No.
All right, well, we got about a minute, so let's wrap this up. The review wrap-up, I think we both said Kinda Rocks for Jenna Carter.
Kinda Rocks, yep.
Yeah. And Silent House and 1,000 Words both get preempted because they didn't screen it for anybody. Next week, we have 21 Jump Street, which, by the way, I said this on the Golden Briefcase this week. I wish they just wouldn't have made this film and just re-released the pilot of the TV show because it couldn't be funnier than that.
There you go.
Because it's ridiculous. But we're going to check that out. Kristen, where can we find you? Tell everybody. We got about 20 minutes.
You can find me online at nightsandweekends.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else that you want to?
On Facebook under It's Movie Time.
Awesome.
And also Nights and Weekends.
Yes. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can get me on twitter.com/KevinCarr, or you can just go to fatguysinthemovies.com. All our information's there. And we will talk to you guys next week. Jump!
Neil Miller
sock puppet.